And Michelle Grattan's in our Parliament House studio. She's been listening to the Senator. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Jackie Lambie is fighting fire with fire. She says, you know, she's got to do this. She's got to stand up for the veterans. This could be a pretty effective threat, you'd think, couldn't it, given the numbers in the Senate as they are?
Well, certainly it's a potential to be very disruptive for the government, for Clive Palmer. It's just another indication of how difficult this Senate is. And, of course, we are coming after the G20 into the last sittings of the year, and there'll be a number of items coming to a crunch then, and this is a complicating factor if she continues this threat.
Complicating for Clive Palmer too, you'd think. I mean, she was very clear. She doesn't want to see him flip-flopping all over the place anymore. She doesn't care what he thinks anymore. He's going to have to decide if he wants a divided party. Where's this heading?
I think it's entirely unpredictable where this is heading, Fran. I think that Clive Palmer is trying to deal with it by not inflaming the relationship with his senator, by essentially disagreeing on some issues but not arguing too much publicly. But in the longer term, which mightn't be necessarily all that much longer, you'd have to wonder whether Jackie Lambie will be able to continue the association with the Palmer Party. Now, maybe it's just a case that she blows hot and cold on these things, but nevertheless, it does look really unstable as the months go on.
Yes, but there's a lot being said for the power of conviction politicians, and she's definitely full of conviction on this. If she does end up separating from the Palmer United Party, she still sits in the Senate for the remainder of the 6 years, presumably. And that could make things much trickier for the Abbott government, having another number, sort of another rogue Senate number to deal
with. That's right, to try and negotiate with.
Yes.
And clearly she feels very strongly on certain issues, and she takes that to an extreme of, as in this case, threatening to vote against all legislation coming up. So it's a management problem that is very, very difficult for both Clive Palmer and in the short term for the government, and maybe in the longer term for the government.
And a policy problem too in terms of defence pay, you'd think. Michelle, also in the news this morning, suggestions the government is nearing agreement on a live cattle deal, a live cattle exports deal with China. The extent of it is reportedly up to 1 million live cattle per year, it'll be worth $1 billion. Now, the cattle industry, we're going to hear from them shortly. They're certainly interested in this, some kind of live cattle deal with China. It's bound to have opposition inside and outside the parliament.
Some opposition. I don't know how much inside. I think that the Labor Party has been so burned over the live cattle controversy with Indonesia that while some within its ranks would oppose it, the party itself, I'd suspect, would not.
Yeah, it's interesting, this deal. Certainly animal liberation activists will be opposed to it. And there's not the religious argument here that there is for, you know, live cattle exports to the Middle East. It's different for China. So in a sense, you could argue, those who are opposed to this could also be argued, Australia is not just exporting live cattle, it's also exporting jobs. We could be, you know, cutting up this meat ourselves in abattoirs here and providing jobs.
Well, that will be an argument by those who are against the deal. But as I say, I think that it will have considerable support. But some people will say, well, this trade shouldn't go on anywhere. That doesn't seem to be a majority argument in the community.
And Michelle, Tony Abbott is off to Beijing for APEC on Sunday, the APEC leaders meeting on Monday and Tuesday. Also in Beijing, our Trade Minister Andrew Robb, he's trying to get agreement on the free trade agreement today, so going to be signed off at the G20 in Brisbane next week. Sometimes a tight timetable is not the best ingredient for a great deal, isn't it?
I think when this is signed off on, there will be a lot of very close scrutiny of this deal, because it has been under a lot of pressure to get done in time for the visit of the Chinese president, and therefore it may be that some corners have been cut. Of course, this over the longer term, this deal has been going on forever. It started under
the
Howard government, and it ran into all sorts of problems and sticking points. So it's not as though it hasn't had a long run-up, but the crunch issues, of course, always come at the end. I think it'll be looked at particularly closely for what's happened on agriculture. There are already signs that, for example, the sugar industry will be complaining. So it won't be all upside. It'll be hailed as a great triumph, but there will be critics and there will be some areas that miss out or some controversial decisions within it.
Okay, there's critics already, though it's taking such a long time. I think we were the first country to be offered a free trade agreement, and many others have stolen the march and signed theirs before now. Michelle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
And as I said, Tony Abbott off to Beijing on Sunday for the APEC Leaders Summit next week. It's Michelle Grattan, Chief Political Correspondent for The Conversation and Professorial Fellow at Canberra University. It's 8 minutes to 8.